Okay, it's great to be back. It was a long break, but very excited to be back and learning together here at the Yula Girls Midrash Hanite. Yeah. It's a beautiful new room that we're in. So the best way to do it, I saw the sign for Chanukah Sabbath. Has that happened already?
Yes.
So this is part of the Chanukah Sabbath. Okay, very good. Okay, this is a great way to... A great way to start off is by learning in the room that's supposed to be learned in, so that's perfect, very apropos. So, B'siyat Shemai, I hope is the beginning of many more learning opportunities together here in this room. Again, excited to come back together to learn our what's supposed to be twice monthly, but turns into, I don't know, once in a long while, Halacha Shir here at Yula Girls. So we want to talk tonight. Generally speaking, we've been trying to discuss topics. There are sheets. If you sort of move towards the back. By the way, speaking of the sheets, the top left of the sheet has a, what's that called?
A QR code,
yeah. If you take your camera and you scan it, this I learned recently, just hold the camera over the QR code, it'll take you to a group. That group is specifically the group for this shiur. That group is participatory. You could comment on your guest questions, you'll get updates about the shiur, it'll have all the information, so you want to get into that group, so just scan that, get into the group, and you'll be good to go on information. The topic for tonight, we're generally discussing Hilchos Shabbos, but I wanted to pivot a little bit towards Chanukah, so we'll do something about Chanukah and Shabbos together, hopefully. I just overheard someone saying a Dvar Torah about the connection between Shabbos and Chanukah a minute ago, so we're not going to talk in that room, we're going to talk more at Derech Halacha, but you'll see some very interesting dinim that come out that are very applicable. We have to know the Halachos, otherwise we're going to get it wrong. Come next Friday, come next Masei Shabbos, you know, every single year, this is actually part of the Halacha discussion, it's going to factor in, so pay attention, every single year, Chanukah is guaranteed to have a Shabbos Chanukah, correct? Every single year. Chanukah is 8 days long, so it's going to guarantee a Shabbos Chanukah, absolutely. So that's always going to present for you two halachic issues. There's always going to be two issues. There are sheets floating around somewhere in the back over there. There's always going to be two halachic issues which present themselves when you have a Shabbos Chanukah, and that's going to be Erev Shabbos and Matzei Shabbos. Why? Because what we want to do is we want to light candles. When do we generally light menorah? When do we generally light candles menorah? Around nighttime. Let's call it that. Around nighttime. So we'll call it roughly around Shkia, maybe a little bit after sunset, a couple minutes after sunset. That's a longer discussion how we arrive at that time. But we generally light around the time of nightfall. So let's say on a Friday afternoon, what's the issue, obviously? You're not allowed to light Chanukah candles on Shabbos, right? So if it's going to be nighttime for Chanukah candles, and also nighttime is Shabbos, you're kind of stuck. You're kind of in a catch-22. Anyone ever actually know the book, catch-22? Okay, good. Yeah. So I remembered it being clean, but then I chazard it 2 years ago. It's not the way I remembered it, but it's a good book, but you can't read it. I think it's a catch-22, but I don't remember how it goes. Okay, so the first question we want to ask chronologically is in terms of events on Friday chronologically, not in terms of the genesis of the halacha, but in terms of how it goes on Friday. The first question which arises, you have in the source sheet, source number 1, 2, deal with this, is the question of when you should daven mincha. When should we daven mincha? Usually what happens, the regular course of events, if you're davening mincha, so you're going to daven mincha at some point during the day. Later on in the day, around Shkia time, like we said, a few minutes after Shkia probably, you're going to light Chanukah candles, you're going to light menorah. And then you'll daven Maariv later, obviously, if you're going to daven Maariv. So many of the mainstream poskim assume the same thing should apply on Friday as well, that it shouldn't be an issue at all. Why would there be an issue? We don't know yet exactly why there'd be an issue, but you should light after having daven mincha, then light, then you'll go into Shabbos on an Erev Shabbos Chanukah as well. Now, the fact that the poskim have to say that obviously implies that it's a question, right? The fact that the poskim have to tell you, oh, on Friday afternoon, when you're going into Shabbos, you should first daven mincha, then light candles, as we'll see they do tell us. So the fact they have to tell us that means they're what we say in Yiddish, bavorning, meaning they're trying to preempt. They're trying to preempt the question. That's the Yiddish, I don't know if that's the exact definition, but it means to preempt the question. They're thinking out a question that they're not spelling out. So they're bavorning this question of, well, there's some issue, apparently, with mincha and candles and Erev Shabbos. So what is the issue they're talking about? So in order to understand that, we need a little bit more background. You have it in source number 1, the Mishnah starts in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chav Vav. The Mishnah tells us a machlokes Tanayim. A machlokes between the Tanayim in the Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. The Tanakhama says as follows, Tfilas ha-mincha ad ha-erev, source number 1 in the bold, that when you want to daven mincha, a regular day, we're not talking about a special day like an Erev Shabbos Chanukah, a regular day, you want to daven mincha. So the Tanakhama says, the first opinion in the Mishnah says, that the latest you can daven mincha is until Erev. What's Erev? Nighttime. So Rashi understands this to mean Shkia, around Shkia time. So the latest that you can daven mincha is until Shkia, meaning until astronomical sunset. Shkia is its own long discussion in terms of when Shkia actually starts. Is there two parts of Shkia, the beginning of sunset and the end of sunset? What's Tseis HaKochav? A lot of terms about nighttime that we're not really ready for. It's a whole another series of Shirim. But we'll interpret for now basically astronomical sunset. when it starts getting dark outside, if you go on your My Zmanim or your whatever app you have for Zmanim, so it'll tell you what Shkia is. So what is it around now? 4:45? 4:35? Something in that range, right? So that's Shkia. Okay, so you are allowed to daven Mincha until then. Why does that make sense? What's Mincha? When is Mincha supposed to be daven? During the daytime, afternoon. Yeah, I heard both, right? During the daytime. Once you hit Shkia, what is it? Halachically? Nighttime. It might still be kind of bright, but it's already considered halachically nighttime, so you can't really daven Mincha anymore. That's the first opinion of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, again, in source number one in the bold. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ad plaga Mincha. You can daven Mincha until plaga Mincha, meaning it's halachically an hour and a quarter before the time of Shkia, before the time of sunset. So if, again, if Shkia is like 4:45, so this is something in the range of 3:50, 3:55, I'm not so good at math, but Sha'oz Manios, halachic hours, splitting up the day, you'll end up close to an hour and a quarter before Shkia. So that seems to be Machlokas and the Tanayim as to when the latest time you're allowed to daven Mincha. Now, if we wanted to reinterpret that Machlokas, what are they really arguing about? If they're arguing about when the time for Mincha ends, meaning when you're no longer allowed to daven Mincha, what are they really arguing about? When the day ends, which means when the nighttime starts. Exactly, right? That is the fundamental machlokas here. They're arguing about when does nighttime start. So the Tanakhama says nighttime, it doesn't start till sunset. That's very logical to us. That's reasonable. We understand that. It's starting to get dark. The sun is going down. It's nighttime. The Rabbi Yehuda says, no, already from Plaga Mincha, an earlier time. I don't know what changes astronomically at that point, but for some reason, there's already qualities of nighttime that are setting in the Metzias, in the reality. So because of that, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's already nighttime halachically from Plaga Mincha, from an earlier point in the day. That's the machlokas that Tanayim are having over here. How do we paskin? Who do we hold like? So if you look in the Gemara, source number one, in the second line, the third line over here, the Gemara says, Hashtad lo itmar hilchas lo kamar v'lo kamar. There's a very vague, ambiguous Gemara. That's not, they give stories and anecdotes where in each case, different people held like the Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanakhama. So how do we paskin? Hashlo itmar hilchus lo kamar v'lo kamar. The Gemara says, since the Gemara never stated for us, the mission never stated for us, who should we paskin like, who should we hold like? The Ovid kamar Ovid or the Ovid kamar Ovid? Very strange statement the Chazal say here. Pick. Take your choice, do as you please. You can choose if you want to call Plag nighttime, you can choose if you want to call Shkia, Erev nighttime. You get to choose your halachic preference in this case. That's not the normal way of passing shailos. Halacha is not a smorgasbord. You don't get to pick whatever opinions you like and don't like. We're supposed to be consistent. Here, the Gemara says that there is no consistent psak. This was either Tullim and Hagim. It depended on your community or it depended on your line of Masorah, who you were basing your psak on. So it wasn't a clear cut the decision who we passing like. So therefore, people can choose who they would follow. That's the most interesting part of this Gemara. The Gemara does have relevant application. The most relevant application, which happens, I guess, every single day, we only really talk about it on Fridays, but it happens every single day, is when can you daven Maariv, right? If it's the end of time for Mincha, what's the beginning of time for? Maariv, right? When can you start daven Maariv, which is the evening prayer, which is the nighttime prayer. So if it's nighttime, now you can daven Maariv. So when does that start? So the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Simen Reish Lama Gimel, 233, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Maskanas Gemara, and he says, the Gemara says that we don't know who to pass like, and therefore everyone can decide who they determine that they want to follow the Psak Halacha like them, and therefore a person can choose to either be allowed to start davening Maariv at Plaga Mincha. What would that be again? What do we say? 3:45, 3:35, something like that nowadays. And if they want, they could choose to start davening Maariv ready from Shkia. You can pick your choice, choose your choice. Anyone ever see a Maariv like that, an early Maariv at Plaga Mincha? I don't know, the only place I've ever seen, I mean, it exists elsewhere, I've seen it, but the only place I've ever experienced it is in Deerfield Beach. You can imagine why they have the early Maariv there. So it's very pleasant Maariv. So, and then you get the early movie special afterwards, very, very good matzav. So so you can kind of pick your choice. You can choose, you want to keep your daytime all the way till Shkia, and then you can daven Maariv after Shkia. Or you choose, no, my daytime ends at Plaga Mincha, and I can start davening Maariv by Plaga Mincha, which is, again, is that hour and a quarter before. And the Mishnah Berurah here warns up, really, the Shulchan Aruch, I should say, the Shulchan Aruch warns us, the Mishnah Berurah just coins the term for us, it exists elsewhere, but here he points it out for us. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, you have to be careful, you have to be careful, you have to be consistent. What do I mean consistent? I mean as follows. Let's say a person says today, it's Plaga Mincha, and they say, you know what? It's Plaga Mincha, it's not yet nighttime, it's not yet Shkia, I'm going to daven Mincha. Say daven Mincha. Now, it's not yet Shkia, they daven Mincha already, and they say, you know what? It's after Plaga Mincha. What should I do? Might as well daven Maariv right now. Why not? I'm already here. I'm already in shul. I'll finish with the Maariv. What's the issue? It's called what the Mishnah Berurah points out for us. It's an old term, but he points out for us here. Tarte desasre, which means it's a contradiction. The two things contradict each other. How so? Because what's the person saying when they daven Mincha after Plag? It's still daytime. Fine. So it's still daytime. That is a legitimate opinion. What?
Since it's convenient for them now, it's nighttime.
Right, all of a sudden it's nighttime. So what's the issue? That's a contradiction. Right now, after Plag and Mincha, between Plag and Shkia, is it daytime or nighttime? You daven Mincha claiming it was daytime. And now you're daven Maariv claiming it's nighttime? It's just because it's convenient for you? How does that make it okay, right? That doesn't make any sense. That's called a tarti disaster. That's a contradiction. The Shulchan Aruch, you've got to be consistent. If you're going to choose to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, you think Plag and Mincha turns into nighttime, then you're a Rabbi Yehuda Jew. Keep the Rabbi Yehuda's man, which means Plag HaMincha is always going to be your nighttime, which means from that hour and a quarter before Shkia, you can start davening Maariv, but you can no longer daven Mincha. If you're going to hold like the Chachamim, the first opinion of the Mishnah, and you think night doesn't start till Shkia, so then you're going to hold that way consistently. You're going to think that you're going to daven Maariv from Shkia. You're not going to daven Maariv before Shkia. That's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be consistent. How often do you have to be consistent? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the simple understanding in the Shulchan Aruch, this is scary, is that you can never change. You have to be consistent your whole life. You become Bas Mitzvah, you decide you're a Rabbi Yehuda Jew or you're a Chachamim Jew. You can't change it afterwards. That's difficult. Everyone does this on Friday afternoon, right? So you all week you daven Mincha all the way up until Shkia. You wait till late in the day to daven Shkia. Then you daven Maariv later at night. Then Shabbos comes, Friday afternoon comes, and it's the summer month, so Shabbos is pretty late. So you want to make an early Shabbos. So when do you daven Maariv? You daven Mincha before Plag, you daven Maariv after Plag. So you're choosing Plag now. So how do you go back and forth? So the answer is you should try to be as consistent as possible. The Meiri, some of the other Rishonim point out, a person doesn't have to be consistent all life long. Day to day, let's try to be, this is a good avot, this is a good muster, by the way. It's hard enough to be consistent and not self-contradictory as it is for your whole life. Let's work on day by day. For me, I work on the hour. Just not to contradict yourself for an hour is already good, but for a day, at least in halacha, to not contradict yourself. You want to be a Plag Jew today? You can be a Plag Jew today. You want to assume nighttime goes from Shkia today, so choose that. But you got to be consistent at least during that day. So again, that case we were talking about before, where it's out of convenience, between Plag and Shkia, you can't daven both Mincha and Maariv. The post can talk about an interesting question. The Rav Shlomo Kluger already dealt with this in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Chachma Shlomo. Let's say you have a shul. This is interesting. I don't know if this often comes up. But you have a shul that has two minyanim on, let's say, Friday afternoon, just for argument's sake. They have two minyanim. First, they have an early minyan that comes in and davens Mincha, yeah, it does happen all the time in summers. They daven Mincha before Plag, and then they daven Maariv right after Plag. So whatever, we'll call it the summer months, it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, they have a 6:45, whatever. They have a Mincha, and then they daven a Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv. So they were assuming in that minyan what? That nighttime begins at Plag HaMincha, that earlier time. Then the next minyan comes in. I davened already. But the next minyan comes in and says, oh, let's daven Mincha. What do you mean Mincha? The shul just declared that it's nighttime. So is that also a tardy disaster? Is that a stira contradiction also? Is it only I can't contradict myself? Or the whole shul has to observe as an entity, now it's nighttime. And now you can't have another minion in the shul that's assuming it's daytime. That's a very interesting discussion. And some of the postkim suggest, Rav Zilberstein has this in his commentary on Maseches Brachos, that maybe that's also considered a stira, considered a contradiction. The shul has to observe a certain level of consistency as an entity as well. The worst case, the Shail Teshuvah's Mishnah Halachos, written by Rav Menashe Klein, he deals with this. The worst case is when you have a minyan factory, where you have sometimes Mincha and Maariv going on at the same time. I don't know, it happens at the Kosel also. No, it happens all the time at the Kosel. You have four minyan going on, sometimes you have a Shachar's and a Mincha and a Maariv, depending on, what area in Europe the people who are davening were from. So you could have all types of tefillah going on. That's a big time tardy disaster. That's a whole contradiction amongst people who are davening at the same time. That, in this case, Hamish might not be so good. Okay. We started by asking, when do you want to light menorah? When do you want to daven mincha? So we started by saying the post can basically say that it's best to daven mincha, then light menorah on an Erev Shabbos Chanukah. Correct? So Friday afternoon comes, not this coming Friday afternoon, but the following Friday afternoon, you're going to want to daven mincha, then you're going to want to light candles. And we said, what's the problem? Like, what's the poskim dealing with over here that they have to tell you should daven mincha, then light menorah? So the answer is as follows. Generally speaking, we like to light menorah later, toward the night, Shkia, right after Shkia. We can't do that because it's going to be Shabbos. So what do we do? The earliest I could light is from Plag HaMincha, because then at least it has some quality of nighttime. If I light at Plag HaMincha, what am I saying? If I light menorah at Plag HaMincha, what am I declaring halachically, potentially? It's basically, why am I declaring that? Because otherwise, you can't light menorah in the middle of the day. So you're saying, oh, it's Plag HaMincha, at least it's sort of nighttime, I can light menorah. So what are you saying? It's sort of nighttime, which means I could light menorah. So it's sort of nighttime. Now you want to daven mincha? You want to light menorah, now you want to daven mincha? What's the issue? That's also a tardy disaster. That's also a contradiction. You just lit menorah, which is saying, basically, halachically, it's nighttime. Nighttime enough that you're yotzei, you're mitzvah menorah. Then you want to turn around and daven mincha? How could you do such a thing? That's a steer. That's a contradiction. You're assuming it's night and day at the same time. You can't have it both ways. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. You have it in source number 2 here. The Mishnah Berurah, he authored the Mishnah Berurah, which is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Underneath that, you have the Sha'ar Tzion in source number 2. That's also authored by the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah was the author also of the Chafetz Chaim. He was a prolific author. He wrote a lot of books. So on the page in Shulchan Aruch, he wrote his commentary, which is the Mishnah Berurah, a commentary on the commentary, which is off to the side, which is the Be'er Halacha, also written by the Mishnah Berurah, and then the footnotes on the bottom, which kind of source for you the different places where he gathered his halachas from, where he culled his sources from. That's called the Shar HaTzion. Tzion means pointing, to reference, to point to where the Makoros are from. So the Mishnah Berurah, both in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shar HaTzion, references this, that this is really from the Prima Gadam already, that we have an issue here of Tadat Disaster as well. If a person is going to light menorah and then daven mincha afterwards, they were declaring that it's nighttime enough for menorah, and then they're going to start daven mincha afterwards. That's a stira. That's a contradiction. So that's problematic. And therefore, the Rama recommends, and all the poskim recommend, the Shulchan Aruch passings this in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Tes and Hilchos Chanukah, that a person should really light candles first, menorah first, and then daven mincha. That's the first issue that comes up on Friday, and that's the background to why it's even an issue at all. Yeah.
Is there an idea of a contradiction on Erev Yom Kippur, or people just do an early mincha because it's a longer mincha and it's a longer davening? So
longer mincha, and you want to get the Sudam HaPsekis in. You want more time for the Sudam HaPsekis afterwards.
So that's why I heard it.
Yeah, the Shari Tshuva brings another reason. I think we referenced this at the Shir at the Steinlove home, but not this particular Ma'amakom, but this idea. The Shari Tshuva quotes a Chida, the Chida in his Sefer Birkei Yosef. Chida also wrote a lot of Svarim. So one of the famous Svarim on Shulchan Aruch commentary is the Birkei Yosef. So in the Birkei Yosef, the Chida writes that there's a different reason we should really daven mincha before lighting menorah. Why? Because what did we say back then? I think we referenced it. The menorah is really supposed to be, it's a mitzvah darabanan, and that's true. It's a mitzvah darabanan celebrating the nace. But what's it supposed to mimic? The menorah Shebe Mikdash, right? The menorah that we lit, and that makes sense. That was the nace. We got the menorah back, we had pure oil, we lit properly, so we're commemorating the idea of having a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So a lot of the halachos of menorah nowadays in Chanukah are supposed to mimic, are supposed to imitate, are supposed to replicate the mitzvah of lighting menorah in the mikdash itself. So when did you light menorah in the mikdash? It's very interesting. So we would first offer the tamid shel bein arba'im. Every single day you had a tamid shel shachar and a tamid shel bein arba'im. The opening and the closing karbanos. The psukim tell us that you're not supposed to bring any karbanos before or after the tamid. The tamid shel shachar is the first one, then you can bring the rest of the karbanos. And the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im is the other bookend on the day, and you don't bring any karbanos after that. So we don't have karbanos anymore, but what do we have? Tefillah. We have tefillah instead. So we have shachar for the Tamid Shel Shachar, and we have mincha for the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, the afternoon offering of the karban tamid. So the way it worked in Mikdash is that first you would offer the karban tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, that closing karban, and then you would light menorah afterwards. So really, to mimic the Beis HaMikdash, what should we do? We should first daven mincha, which is instead of the karban mincha, Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, and then we should light menorah afterwards. What's the only issue with that? So we're trying, that is a good question, but that's the whole point. We're trying to mimic, we're trying to commemorate, we're trying to parallel, we're trying to replicate what happened in the Mikdash. Okay. This is the time of year to commemorate. I thought you were going somewhere else. This is the time of year to commemorate the nace, because we experienced the nace of the menorah. The issue is the following. We don't usually perfectly mimic the menorah in terms of the timing when we light it. When was the menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash? The menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash was lit before Shkia. It was lit before sunset. We don't do that on a Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're doing that on a Friday. We don't do that on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So the poskim say, yeah, usually we're not able to mimic it. Why? Because we need persumanisa. We need to be dark. We need people to see the candles. So we have to wait until nighttime. But on Friday, punkta, one time, that it's Erev Shabbos and we can't light on Friday night. We have to light earlier in the day. Once we're lighting earlier in the day, we might as well mimic the mitzvah of menorah and the mikdash as best as possible. So we'll light after mincha, because now at this point we're going to do mincha, like the karban tamid shel bein arba'im. Then we're going to light menorah to mimic the order that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, even though generally you don't always get it exactly right. But today we have an opportunity to get it right, so we'll take advantage. Another interesting reason to do so. There are poskim who do say that you should light menorah before daven mincha, but the common practice is certainly to first daven mincha and only afterwards to light Neros Chanukah. Yeah, another potential halachic conundrum, a riddle that can be caused by what we just discussed is the following. Let's say it's not true this year. When's Chanukah start? Sunday night? Sunday night. Okay, so it's not true this year, but generally it could happen that Erev Shabbos would be the first day of Chanukah, meaning Shabbos would be the first day of Chanukah, meaning Erev Shabbos is Chaf Dalet Kislev, meaning that night you'd be lighting your first candles. You can't light at night because it's Shabbos, so you'd light early in the day. Let's say it happens like that. Let's say Friday afternoon is the first time you're lighting candles. So you're supposed to daven mincha and then light candles, right? That's what we just discussed. Why? Because we don't want to end up with a contradiction that you lit candles and said it was nighttime and now you're going to daven mincha. That doesn't fit because you're already claiming it's nighttime. How could you daven mincha? Mincha is a daytime prayer. Okay, let's say you made a mistake. Let's say you first lit menorah. Now you want to daven mincha. Okay, so mincha is, it's a tart disaster. It's not the best way of davening mincha, but we'll take your mincha. What's the issue? How should you daven mincha? What's the issue here? Ah, do you say Al Anisim? So what do you think? Why not? It's Friday afternoon. It's Chav Dal Kislev. It's not Hanukkah. So of course you don't say Alan Nisim. Anyone have a counter argument to that?
We just let it over.
So what does that mean?
It's Hanukkah.
Ah. So on Shabbos we have this concept, which we'll talk about hopefully a little bit more, although again it's a whole other discussion in Hilchos Shabbos. On Shabbos we have this concept that when you light candles, when you light Neir Shabbos, what happens? You take in Shabbos. That's certainly true for women. It's less true for men. Men don't really accept Shabbos with lighting candles. Women who have the practice of lighting candles in the home every week, they are, again, it's not everyone agrees to this, but we assume, at least we're machmir for, we assume that you're accepting Shabbos when you light your candles right away. So if that's the case, you're taking in Shabbos the second you light candles. We understand the concept of Seventh Shabbos is different, but you're taking in Shabbos nonetheless. What about when you light menorah? So there's no Yontif, there's no Kabbalah Hanukkah, there's no Havdalah after Yontif of Hanukkah. So it's funny in that way. But on the other hand, you are starting the mitzvahs, you are starting the practices of the days, of Hanukkah. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a very interesting comment here. It's quoted in the Sefer Halichos Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that you should indeed say Alan Nisim. Not like you said, unbelievable. He says you should, wouldn't expect this. He says you should in fact say Alan Nisim if you daven mincha after. Again, lechatchil, you shouldn't do this. You should daven mincha first and then light candles. But if you made a mistake, you lit candles first and then you want to daven mincha after, you should say Alan Nisim. Why? It's true. It's not Hanukkah yet. But when a person lights menorah, they haven't really pulled in Hanukkah. It's not the Shabbos, Kedushas Hayom, Kabbalas Hanukkah. But the days of Hallel v'Hodah have started. If you lit Hanukkah candles, you're saying, I'm in the moment. I'm in the moment of thanking Hashem, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim. It's a Yimei Hallel v'Hodah already that creeped into my week. I lit Hanukkah candles. That means it's time to start saying Al Nisim. That was Shlomo Zalman suggested. Others disagree. Others say the minig is not like that. That if you lit candles accidentally first, you shouldn't say Al Nisim. If you daven mincha afterwards, again, you shouldn't do it lechatchila. But if you made a mistake and you did it, then you shouldn't say Al Nisim afterwards. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach did say a chiddush like that. But they're arguing about exactly what we were just arguing about. Did you take in Chanukah on some level? So Shlomo Zalman said, yeah, you took in Chanukah in the sense that it's Yemei Hallel v'Hodah. On the other hand, he didn't really take in any kedushas hayom. It didn't become Chanukah halachically. It's still daytime, so it's not going to be an issue. Yeah.
Shabbat, you can light candles with a
t'nai
that you're
going to
daven.
Right. A t'nai that what? That's not Hanukkah yet? That you don't want to say Al Nisim later?
I don't know. Like that you didn't daven mincha yet, so you want right. to daven like a regular.
Right. The poskim don't discuss that. I don't know. It probably doesn't catch in a t'nai because there's no real kedusha yom that's coming in that you're trying to preempt. But it's interesting.
The fact that we light candles that last longer on Arab Shabbos. Yeah. That already speaks to that it's not really Hanukkah.
Meaning. Ooh, I hear what you're saying, because you want it to last longer because you think Hanukkah is really later.
Right.
I think maybe we'll have time, but we have another mitzvah to get to next week. We're not going to get to it tonight. But that halacha of putting more oil in because you want it to last later into the night, that's more of a question, although maybe what we're talking about is a little bit of a, we could maybe argue about this. Is that a question of because the mitzvah doesn't start till later and you're trying to light in advance? Or is it because the shear of the mitzvah is that it has to last as long as 30 minutes after Shkia? So it starts now. The mitzvah does start now. But you need it to last longer. It's not any longer than a regular day. It's as long as usual, 30 minutes after Shkia, but you started earlier. It's not because the mitzvah doesn't start till later, it's because the mitzvah goes later. So that's we could discuss that, I think, at length. Maybe we'll get back to that. That'd be nice.
You wouldn't light early on any other night of the week.
If you had the postman say, if you had a dire situation, if you were stuck in some shas at the chak, you would light earlier in the day. But no, normally speaking, you would never do that. Correct.
Better to light really late than light
early. In most cases, yeah, in most cases.
We're talking mostly about lighting at home, not
as opposed to in shul. Yeah, at home.
The reason I ask is simply because, let's say, you're in most cases giving up davening and then a minyan, right? In many cases, that's the choice.
So some of the poskim do talk about that and say it's worth it to daven alone in order to get this in. That's true. But shuls do offer, shuls offer a 1:35 mincha, mincha gedola. They offer early minchas. Erev Shabbos, Hanukkah, sometimes people offer special minchas early. But yeah, you might give up, this is, again, another shir for another time, but there's a lot of times where you give up tefillah b'tzibur for other halachic reasons. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin Test, you have it in source number 3. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that in Erev Shabbos, we should first light, if you look inside, we should first light menorah earlier and only later light Neir with Shabbos. Here, the Ramah comments and says, yeah, and you make all the brachos. So what's the Ramah adding over here? Of course you make the brachos. You're lighting menorah. Why wouldn't you make the brachos? So it's obvious the Ramah is working on, and he's quoting a Trumas Deshin earlier, but it's obvious what the Ramah is, again, preempting over here is the following. We might think that really on Erev Shabbos, our hands are tied. What are we supposed to do? It's going to be Shabbos tonight. So we can't light candles on time. So it's like, you know, imagine it was a time of in history where you couldn't get an esrog. So all you found was an esrog that was pasul. So you would take the esrog that's pasul just to remember the mitzvah. So what are we going to do? We're not going to be mekayim mitzvah Chanukah because it's Shabbos night. It's not going to be possible. So we'll light early in the day. We're not really yotzei, but we'll do it anyways. So the Chiddush the Ramah is telling us from the Truma Sedeshin is no, this is the mitzvah, or the way the Truma Sedeshin is, this is a Hechsher mitzvah. This is the start or the preparation for the Mincha mitzvah. The Efshar Binyan Acher, there's no other way to be mekayim the mitzvah. So this is already the start of the mitzvah. And maybe that hints at what you were talking about before. It's not really the mitzvah. It's sort of the preparation of the mitzvah, which is really going to take place later on. But the Chassam Sofer said a much more simple idea. He said when Chazal established the Yom Tov of Chanukah, they knew it was 8 days, right? Now, I'm not saying they were the best mathematicians, although they were, but imagine they weren't. They still could have figured out that a Shabbos was going to come every single year, right? So what do you think the pshat is in lighting early on Erev Shabbos? It's that, oh, we're not going to be Mekayim the mitzvah, so we might as well light early? Or no? Chazal, when they enacted the mitzvah in the days of Chanukah, they knew every single year on Friday afternoon there's going to need to be a special time to light candles in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah before Shabbos. So they drew into the plans that the time for lighting on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday is always going to be right after Shkia. The time for lighting on Erev Shabbos, Chanukah, is always going to be earlier in the day after Plaga Mincha before Shkia. That was built in. So the Chassam Sofer says, of course it's the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah. This is the regular mitzvah of Chanukah. Every other day, the time starts a little bit later. On Erev Shabbos, Chanukah, of course, Chazal implanted into the mitzvah that you light earlier in the day. So of course you can say Asher Kedishanam B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. This is how they commanded us. This is how they told us to do the mitzvah Neres Chanukah on Neres Shabbos.
Is he implying that you might think you should delay saying the bracha, like just light it early?
Well, yeah, you could potentially delay it. You wouldn't be able to say lahadlik because you have to say that overly asiyasan ahead of doing the mitzvah. But you could have delayed, let's say, the Birchas Haroah, meaning you could say al ha she'asem nisim labasina bayamim heim bazman hazeh, or if it was the first day, you could say Shechianu later on. So you could have lit, you know, 3:40, whatever, you know, after Plaga Mincha, 4 o'clock. And then you could have taken in Shabbos, and then later after Shkia, you could say, Shasin Yisun Labasin Bayam Heim Bazman Hazeh, Shechianu, and then did your bracha then. But the Ramah is saying you do all the brachos ahead of time, all of them.
Wait, so you can make your bracha, like, if the candles are still burning, you can make a bracha after
you. If you forgot to, let's say, earlier on? Yeah, those two brachos you could. Not the lahadlik ner, not the brachas mitzvah, which is supposed to be said before you do the mitzvah, but the other ones you could. Because those are really a bracha on, well, Shas Nisim Labasin is really a bracha on seeing the ner. It's not really a bracha on doing the mitzvah, but it's bracha on witnessing the ner. You can make your brachas haroe, Shas Nisim Labasin, on someone else's candles. If you're walking in the street, this is why briskers, when they walk, well, there's multiple reasons people walk in the streets with a head down. But one of the reasons is that when they're walking home from the Beis Medrash, they're going to light candles, they have their head down because they don't want to look at the candles in the windows because they don't want to be Yotzei seeing the candles. They want to make it on their own candles. So that's a chumrah, and it's a dangerous chumrah. So you should be careful not to bump into things. But it's a understandable chumrah, at least. That's the truth. Okay. The post can point out, we'll see how much we get to here, we're short on time as always, but the post can point out, this is not just a free-for-all, it's not that now that we light earlier on Erev Shabbos, we're allowed to light whatever time we want. Rav Moshe Feinstein here in source number 5, you have it as a tshuva, where he explains that the idea is that a person is supposed to light, you know, samach, close to, in conjunction with the Neros Shabbos, meaning if you're going to light your Neros Shabbos 18 minutes before Shkia, so then you should light your Neros Chanukah 25 minutes before Shkia, you should match them up together. You shouldn't come downstairs and say, you know, everyone get together, we're all here right now, let's light Chanukah candles right after Plaga Mincha, then we'll all go take our showers, get ready for Shabbos, and then we'll light candles later. No, it should be close as possible to Shabbos, but linked up with the Neros Shabbos, before Neros Shabbos, of course, but it should be linked up. The bigger question the post can talk about, Rav Moshe has about this as well, here in source number 5, you could read it hopefully afterwards. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva here where he discusses that, should we actually push off our Neros Shabbos in order to extend later into the day and light our Neros Chanukah later in the day. What do I mean by that? You and I, generally speaking, we take in Shabbos not at Shkia exactly. There's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, which means that we want to add on Kedusha from the Shabbos into the weekday. So Me'ikar Din, strictly speaking, 2 minutes before Shkia is already enough Tosefes Shabbos. But for various reasons, we generally do 18 minutes before Shkia, correct? The more the merrier. It's so there's a minhag of 20, 22, there's a minhag of 30, there's a minhag of 40 in Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim, they do 40 minutes before Shkia. So the more the merrier, up to Plaga Mincha, you can't take in Shabbos earlier than Plaga Mincha. But to light candles and be ready for Shabbos in advance is a very, very special holy thing to do. 30 minutes is a good goal, I think. 30 minutes is a good goal. But a lot of people have 18 minutes, and a lot of people have, well, whatever. So, which is right at Plaga Mincha.
Yeah.
She's my idol. That's why I look. That's how I look up to. I cannot imagine it. But 30 minutes, I think, is a good goal for people if they're able to. But it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of planning. But it's an important thing to do. The risk that we run is that, and you see this, it's not just in Los Angeles. I have been in other places in the world. You walk to shul on Erev Shabbos when it's not actually Erev Shabbos, and you see people driving to shul. So if a person blurs the lines between 18 and 20 or 18 and 17, it's very easy, especially if you don't know the halachas. If we didn't come to the shir and know why we're keeping, or if we have to have a longer shir to really understand it, but we didn't know why we're keeping 18 minutes, it's very hard to know when Shabbos actually starts. You see it. You see it week in, week out. People who are driving to shul, they don't realize they're driving within the 18 minutes is one thing, but past 18 minutes is a chalan slan. So it's the more the merrier. It's important to keep track of when the zman amar. It's important to not drive on Shabbos. Yeah. So either way, so the Rav Moshe Fein says, no, there's no concept of pushing off Neir Shabbos. You always keep 18 minutes before Shkia for Shabbos. Keep 18 minutes this time also. Maybe we'll go 5 more minutes if that's okay, if you can stand the heat. I hear that. I'm feeling it too. And I have a sweater on. It doesn't have sleeves, but it's still pretty hot. So the post-gim do talk about this. Rav Moshe says, don't push it off. Why not? Because what's really happening here? Really, really, you're supposed to light Neiros Chanukah when? At nighttime. When are we lighting instead because it's Shabbos tonight? We're lighting during the daytime. So instead of 20 minutes before Shkia, you're going to light 17 minutes before Shkia. I don't know. So what did you accomplish? You're still lighting during the daytime. You didn't light. It's a few minutes closer to Shkia. I don't know. You didn't add much to Zermaisha. The takana, the idea was to light close to Neiros Shabbos. Whenever your regular Neiros Shabbos is, you should light your Neiros Chanukah right beforehand. You don't need to push it off. Some of the Eretz Yisrael, like a post-Gim Rav, the Brisker Rav said like this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Eliashiv said, yeah, we should push off Shabbos a little bit. They were holding of a 40-minute Erev Shabbos. So if you were holding 40 minutes and you wanted to push it down to 25 or 35, you could hear it's a little bit more of a chumer that you're foregoing as opposed to really an ikar din almost that you're foregoing for Seventh Shabbos. So there they said to maybe push it off. There's chilukim and hagim. Not everyone agrees in Eretz Yisrael about anything, and also including this. And therefore, different people have different practices in Erev Shabbos. So it's not entirely clear. But Maisha says the minig is not to push it off. So if you're normally taking Shabbos 18 or 20 or 30 minutes before Shabbos, before Shkia, so you should light candles of menorah sometime before that, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes before that. And then, you know, within reason, very close in conjunction with it, spend time as a family enjoying that moment, and then move into Shabbos immediately thereafter and be Mekabel Shabbos. The last point, if we could hang in there, as we mentioned, we're supposed to light the Neiros Chanukah before we light Neiros Shabbos. Why? We mentioned very briefly, because what happens when you light Neiros Shabbos? You're taking Shabbos, so it's going to be a problem to try to light Neiros Menorah, Neiros Chanukah afterwards, right? So, like we said, for men maybe it's a little bit different, but for most people who are lighting candles, when the women are lighting candles, they are taking in Shabbos. At least we assume halacha l'maaseh that they're probably taking in Shabbos, they're mekabel Shabbos when they light candles. So if they light candles for Shabbos first, they can't now light the menorah. What if a person did this? What if a woman lit candles for Shabbos? She forgot it's Shabbos Chanukah, or whatever. She didn't forget, but I don't know. She just wasn't paying enough attention. She didn't realize, you know, the no one else came down yet, so she just did a regular routine of lighting Shabbos candles. She took in Shabbos. Oh my gosh, I forgot to light the Chanukah candles. Now, some women don't have the practice of lighting menorah. In my family, the women light menorah, but in some families, the men light the menorah and the women don't light the menorah. That's the Mishnah Berurah, I think, says the men light and the women don't light. I follow what I have from, I mean, my family growing up, but also of Soloveitchik, the family minhag was the women did light on their own as well. So imagine she does light on her own, or she lives on her own, or she has that practice to light on her own. So what do? You took in Shabbos, what do? Anyone have an answer to that? That's why the title was very, this one I thought was clever, but lighting menorah on Erev Shabbos, but the Erev in parentheses. Are you allowed to light menorah on Shabbos? So, probably not. So is there any advice? Anything a person do, you could cheat. Source number 6. The Mishnah Berurah has a piece of advice here. So the Mishnah Berurah recommends as follows. You already took in Shabbos, you can't light. What can you do? Tell a friend, tell another Jew, can you please light Tanukh candles for me? Make the lahadlik ner for me, and I'll say amin or don't say amin, whatever. And I'll be yotzei the mitzvah that way. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, he's quoting the Magen Avraham. You could then say, Shechianu and Shas Nisim Lavasin Abayim and Mahim Bazman Azeh on those Neros. But you don't make the bracha, the bracha mitzvah, because you're not lighting. But you'd make a shliach, you'd appoint someone else as an agent to light on your behalf. Anyone have any issues with that?
Yes, isn't that against halacha?
Which halacha? Shabbos halacha, good. That's exactly what I was asking. You don't have to be embarrassed. That's exactly what I was looking for. Yeah, Hilchos Shabbos. Anyone have any other issue with that?
Because you're not allowed to ask them.
Are you allowed to ask if people do malachim on Shabbos?
Well, it's not Shabbos for them.
Okay, so this is really interesting. There's a Tshuva Sefer called Binyan Shlomo, which is a chash of a Tshuva Sefer. He's bothered by exactly your problem. It's Shabbos. You can't tell someone else to do malachim for you on Shabbos. But I don't... I don't understand what his problem is. I mean, I might have an explanation. We don't have time to get into it. Very good. It relates to that as well. Yes. So Rav Itzel Petterberger, he was one of the foremost Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter. Brilliant genius. A lot of Sifrei Musar, but on top, a lot of Ksavim Musar, but on top of that, he wrote what Rav Shapter calls a knockout Shuva Sefer, the Pre-Yitzchak. He called it the Pre-Yitzchak because he and his wife were not matzleich in having children. They tried very hard and they couldn't have children, and he thought this was going to be his Pre-Yitzchak. This was going to be his only fruit of his life. He was going to produce the Sefer. And I think after he wrote the Sefer, he was zochet to have children. But so then the Pre-Yitzchak, he has a tshuva where he quotes this tshuva of the Binyan Shlomo, and he says, what kind of ridiculous comment is that? We know that when a person takes in Shabbos, this happens to me all too often. It happened to us last week. We took in Shabbos, then we realized the stove was still on. So that's not so great. So we ran next door to the lights. I don't know if anyone knows the lights, the photographers. They live next door to us. We ran next door. Mr. Light still had not taken in Shabbos. So he came in and he turned off the stove for us. And then he went to take care of Shabbos. Thankfully, we took in Shabbos earlier than 2 minutes before Shkia. So we were able to find someone else, another Jew who hadn't yet taken in Shabbos. Imagine if 3:45, we could have had a whole team of people working in our house afterwards. But we weren't that good. But so that's not an issue. I'm merely Yisrael. If it's Tosefes Shabbos for me, but it's not yet Shabbos for you, I'm allowed to ask a Jew. Not necessarily ask a lot of non-Jew. It's interesting. It's more lenient to ask a Jew than it is to ask a non-Jew. But in that zone, I'm allowed to ask another Jew to do for me. So I can ask him to light candles for me. So that's not a problem. But is there a problem in Hilchos Chanukah? So this is an interesting question. The post can point out there's a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin and Daf Chaf Gimel. It comes up in other places as well. With a klal, with a rule, the principle that if a person cannot do the halachic action on their own, they can't appoint the shliach to do it either. Meaning if a person, let's say an eved, a certain type of eved in certain situations, too many details for right now, can't accept a get meaning similar to a get of ishus, but meaning to free them from slavery. So they can't accept on their own behalf that get, assuming they can't accept it on their own behalf. Can they make a shliach to accept it for them? The answer is no, why not? It makes a lot of sense. I can't do it, so how can I appoint someone else to do it in my stead? I don't have the power. How can I give power of attorney? How can I give someone else the ability to represent me if I don't even represent myself? So here, the post can say, the Prima Gadim asks the question, what's the pshat in the Magen Avraham that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting? I can't light Shabbos. I can't light menorah anymore. I took in Shabbos. I can't light menorah. So how can I appoint someone else to do it for me?
It's more under control that you took in Shabbos and
Oh, excellent. So there's two ways basically to answer this question. One of them is what you said, which is the Maharam Shik and other Achronim say, which is that this is different. This is where under my, it happens to be under my will and not under duress, but additionally, like you said at the end, it's not that it's impossible for me to light menorah right now. It's that I could definitely light menorah halachically and physically, but Shabbos stands in the way. Shabbos stands in the way. That's an external, tangential iser that doesn't relate to my mitzvah menorah. The Eved can't, he doesn't have the ability to accept gittin. He can't accept his shtar, which frees him. That's a limitation, mineyuve. That's an internal limitation. This is an external limitation. So if I can get around Shabbos, if I find a workaround, I can light menorah right now. So I found the workaround. Ask another Jew to light candles for me. Excellent. Some of the Achronim say that. The Prima Gadim himself, we'll end with this. I don't know how many times I've said that already. The Prima Gadim himself gives a different answer. He says that maybe Neros Chanukah are different in general. And this I wish Mrs. Luftglass was here for because she loves this.
Though, if you appoint someone to do it, you have to pay for it? But you can't.
No, different story. We could talk about that if we make multiple shirim next week. We could talk about that topic as well. Mishtate Prakrut is a different story. You're right. But here you wouldn't need to do that. You wouldn't need to pay them. This is your candles, your oil, your flame, your wick. You don't need to pay someone else. It's your home. You just lit.
So when you ask, it's not that you make a bracha on someone else.
No. You tell them to light my menorah and my oil for me. Which takes us to our next point, which is what I said I wish Mrs. Luftless were here for, is the following. What's the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? Is the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah that I have to light candles? Persuminisa is for sure part of it, and that relates to what we're about to say. What's the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? That I have to light candles, or that candles have to be lit? My oil, my wicks have to be lit in my window for Persuminisa to display the nais to the public. What's the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah? So if the mitzvah is that I have to light, then I can't light right now because it's Shabbos. Forgetting your point from before, I can't light now because it's Shabbos. So how could I ask someone else to do it for me? But if the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, this is what the Prima Gadim suggests, and we'll end with this and you'll think about it. If the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is not about me lighting, I don't need to appoint an agent, a shliach, to do it for me. It's not about me lighting. What's it about? It's about my candles being lit in my window. then who cares if it's my agent, my shliach or not? As long as my candles get, we don't ask any questions. As long as my candles get lit in my window, that's good. I'm taken care of. My house is taken care of with the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. So of course I can ask someone else to do it because I'm not appointing them a shliach. I'm not asking them to do it on my behalf. I'm just making sure that it ends up being facilitated, ends up happening in my window with my candles, with my oil, and that's not a problem of making a shliach do an aveira for you on Shabbos. That's another potential solution to this riddle that the Mishnah Berurah suggests. What? You don't, that's another discussion, whether you have to be present for the bracha or not. It's best if you are, but you definitely don't have to be. It's definitely not makif. That's correct. That's true either way, though. Okay, so we'll stop with that. Some interesting halachic issues that come up. Maybe we'll continue next week with more Erev Shabbos issues, or maybe with Matzah Shabbos issues. Either way, everyone have a wonderful wonderful night. I'll see you next week. Mirtz Hashem.